The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel which you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's affliction for the sake of the body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mysteries that have been kept hidden for ages and generations, but it is now disclosed to God's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we gather here this morning, we gather in a time that we're seeing massive changes that are going on in the world we live. Children, the world isn't the way it was when I was a kid. It's a far different world. The world now is a world that's much closer because of technology, knowledge, and information. What takes place around the globe can instantly be known here. The events that take place in places we don't even know now can shape and change our very lives. This world is indeed smaller, but in many ways is more distant than it has ever been, because ideas that have been in places now are being spread, and other ideas are coming into conflict with these ideas. We're in a world that it seems there is a new normal. And I do not accept this as being the normal. I do not think this is something we should accept, because we believe in a transformative and a redemptive Christ. I totally agree in the ideas of peace, that we should offer peace and reconciliation to people. But the truth is, if we just learn to get along, that is not enough. We must learn to redeem. It is not enough to just say, I'm sorry. We have to do more. We have to be able to then do something about it. See, that is the way true peace is made. It is not made in the lack of conflict. It is made in the presence of redemption. In other words, in our lives, if we are to have peace with God, it is not enough that God forgives us. It is that we must do something about it and live the lives that God has called us to live. We are being told falsehoods, a false narrative by this world, that if simply we can just learn to get along, we'll all be better off. And the truth is, we'll never get along if we do not find redemption in Christ. Paul is making clear that Jesus is supreme. He is the Son of God. He is the firstborn of all creation. In him all things were created. He is making clear that Christ is holding it together. If we did not have the Christ in our lives and in our world, it would already be blown apart. He holds it together, it says in this first chapter of Colossians, the 17th verse. In him all things hold together. He binds us together. He is the head of the body. What can be said after events that are taking place? I do not agree with the statement made by a certain person in politics yesterday that this is a sign that this evil group is getting weaker. Yes, sure. What craziness is that? That we suddenly think that their advancement is somehow them losing. In my book, if they're scoring, they're winning. We must understand the false narrative that is being presented, that somehow we can figure out a way through this mess we find ourselves. And the truth is, we cannot figure out a way out of this mess we find ourselves because we are part of the mess. This lack of peace starts with self. I found this article. And it's these ladies who had this wonderful workshop on helping people with self-image. And this is one of the headlines of their workshop. It says, make peace with your reflection and stop declaring war on yourself. That's what it says on the headline of their workshop. And I know it's a great workshop, but they have it backwards. They don't quite understand what it means. Make peace with your reflection and then stop declaring war on yourself. See, they have it backwards. Can we ever make peace with our reflection? You ever been to one of those carnivals where they have the different kinds of mirrors? In the mirrors, some of them will make you seem to be thin, and some will make you seem to be heavy, and some will make you seem to be tall, and some will make you seem to be short. Well, I'm going to find the one that makes me look thin and put it in the parsonage, you know. The truth is, if we start looking in the mirror, did you know Hollywood's having trouble right now? It is. Hollywood. They're having trouble out there in Hollywood land because of high definition. These actresses and actors we thought were so handsome and everything, high def showing, they don't look so good. It's showing all the blemishes, you know. In fact, the stars are very concerned about it because the more realistic it gets, the less starly they become. So they're not wanting to have high def so much. They want it to be kind of fuzzy and be not quite in focus. So their skin and their texture and all their way they look. See, the truth is if we try to make peace with our reflection, we never will. If we keep looking in the mirror, did you know we got a crazy bird at the parsonage? He is a male cardinal. You can tell the male cardinals are not the bright red. I could be backwards on this, but that's okay. They're the browner red. And there's this cardinal that loves my pickup truck. I'm probably saying this wrong, but it don't make no difference about which sex the cardinal is. I don't care. It's the point that he loves my truck. And he keeps perching on my truck. He's on my truck. I run him off. One day I'm starting to drive away, and he's sitting there on my mirror chirping at me. And I kind of think, well, what does this mean? Is this a sign of something? Lord, are you trying to tell me something? Why has this cardinal got this fixation on my white pickup truck? And then I found out Leona told me he's looking at himself in my mirror on my truck. Honestly, the bird was flying every day to look at himself in my mirror. He was fixated on his own image. He somehow wanted to see himself in the mirror. He's a crazy bird. I don't know where he comes from. He must come from somewhere else. See, what is this fixation with trying to look in the mirror? Make peace with your reflection. See, the ladies have it wrong. If you tell people, make peace with your reflection, they never will. Because every time they look in the mirror, they're going to find something they don't like. No, we cannot make peace with our reflection until the second part needs to come first. We need to stop declaring war on ourselves. See, that's what's got to come first. See, the truth is, if we are at peace with ourselves, then it doesn't matter what we look like in the mirror. Society's got it wrong. It keeps thinking that somehow we got to make peace with this reflection. And the truth is, peace always starts with self. See, Christ is holding us together that we may see his image in us. When you look in the mirror after you made peace with yourself, you realize it is not you you're looking at. It is a child of God you're looking at. So if you're looking in the mirror and you're saying this is wrong and that is wrong, you're finding fault with God Almighty in his creation. Accept the way you are And then you will know the peace that surpasseth all understanding. In other words, quit looking in the mirror. Now, that's hard to do for the selfie generation that we have right now. Everybody's taking a selfie. Selfie here, selfie there, selfie everywhere. People making selfies everywhere, thinking somehow their image is this and that. Sisters and brothers, I totally agree we want to look the best that we can look. It's very important, these things. But it is not supremely important. It is not the outside that matters. It's the inside that matters. It's the spirituality that matters. And these ladies have it, they have it backwards. Stop declaring war on yourself first. And then you can find peace with your reflection. So that's very important, because he says in the 21st verse, he says, once you were alienated from God, which means you were looking at yourself, you were full of vanity, always about you, you, you. Now that you come to God, it's not about you, it's about us, it's about God, it's about ultimately what God's calling us to do. He says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. See, let's get down to it. You know why these people are evil in the world that are doing the things they're doing? Because they're doing the things they're doing and they're evil. Let's not try to make it out to be something. Let's not try to find a positive way to deal with this. My brother, when he served in Iraq, as you know, as a chaplain, he does not carry a weapon. He has a religious personnel, they call him an RP, that goes along with the chaplain. My brother served with the Marine Corps. He had his RP who had the pistol on his side. My brother did not carry a weapon. He said that one night he was going to serve communion to some troops out in the desert, and him and the RP took off in the Jeep, and they were running across the desert there with the communion elements that were there, and they saw this light, and they thought it was the camp that they were supposed to go to, and the RP speeding towards it, and as they get closer, they realize it's not American Marines that they're going to, it's Republican Guard. And my brother says, oh my Lord, turn around. And suddenly the RP turns around and they run away trying to take communion to the enemy. I told him, son, I said, I understand that you trust that RP, but I'd have had me a pistol too. He said, you're just like daddy. I mean, I trust my RP to protect me, but I'm going to protect me too. See, I'm going to protect me too. In other words, I know that I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to prove it every day. I know that I need forgiveness, and every day I'm going to live into that forgiveness, so every day there's less and less for God to forgive and more for God to accept. See, peace starts with yourself. It starts with me. I'm going to be at peace. They're scrambling right now. They don't understand what's going on. They don't realize. It's real simple. Let's just cut down to the chase. What is going on? What's going on is when you take God out of the lives of people, people become the gods, and they think they can do whatever they want to with no moral consequence. But I can tell you this. That scoundrel that run over those children in Nice, France, it'd be better for a millstone to be tied around his neck and him thrown into the deepest of waters, because those children he killed, he is going to burn in everlasting fire, because my God is a God of justice and a God of judgment. Now, some people don't like me saying that. They say, preacher, how could you say that? How could you say such a harsh thing? Aren't you supposed to be a forgiving person? I pray to God he's redeemed. But anybody that does anything like that, God deals with them. See, this idea of peace being somehow losing is not the Prince of Peace that is winning. Somehow the Christian being losing, being a loser. Say, turn the other cheek. Yeah, I turn the other cheek. I go the extra mile. But there comes a point when justice will be served. Comes a point when right will be done. Because what good is it for me to let the devil in my house and destroy my home? What good is it for me to sit there and say I'm an abiding man, I'm an easy man, and then I let and I condone actions that are not right? I tell you, when it comes to my house, it's kept straight. And if they don't like it, like Fred G. Sanford said, they can get out my house. See, the truth is, America must learn to accept what true peace is. It is accepting the one who brings peace, is Jesus the Christ. So in this scripture, Paul is describing as people, we are at war with God until we find peace with God. And this peace can only be found through presenting ourselves to Christ, who then, it says in the 22nd verse, makes us without blemish and free from accusation if we continue in the faith and established and we're firm in what we do. Now, if we now see that we must stop declaring war on ourselves and we don't look at the mirror as our sole judge of self, then how do we respond to others? We respond by learning what to do with others. How do we treat others? How do we react with others? What do we do with others? You ever had a bully? You ever had somebody bully you before? I have. I had a little boy, I had a bully. This boy was bad. He was just a bad boy. I told him, "You're a bad boy." He said, "I'm bad and I'm mean." This is in Morehead City. He come up to me one day. He had, I thought he had a switchblade because he kind of, sort of like a button. And he pulled it on me and he stuck it underneath my neck and he pushed up on my head like that. And I thought it was a switchblade because I could feel it pressing into me. And I said, "Man, you don't want to do that." And then he laughed and he pulled it back and it was a switchblade comb, you know, the one that comb your hair is on a switchblade. And he laughed and I said, you're just a bad person. And you're lucky I didn't beat the tar out of you just now. Next time, I think I will, and then ask forgiveness. He kind of looked at me. And then I was in gym class and I come out of gym class and him and his cousin caught me on either side and started beating me up. They threw me to the ground, started hitting me, beating me up. I got up and I threw his cousin and I pinned him on the wall and I threw his cousin again and I pinned him on the wall again. The teacher sent me and them to the office. And so I made a public declaration in class. Teacher didn't like it. Teacher got very upset. But I stood up and I said, after school today at 3:30, I will meet Gerald outside. All who want to come and see the whooping come. Teacher, she panicked. "Drum, you can't do that. You're a preacher's boy. You're not supposed to be doing that." And I said, "I've taken enough whoopings from this boy and his meanness." And she said, "Don't do that." And come 3:30, I was there. I was waiting, and there was a crowd of young people there in Morehead City waiting to see the fight of the century. He didn't show up. I didn't say nothing. I didn't brag I'd won. The next day, I found him in just the hallway, and I said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'll come see you again now." He said, I really don't want to be your enemy. I want to be your friend." I said, "Okay." I said, "After school today, let's go get an ice cream. Let's go back home and we'll play some. We'll play a game or something. What do you think?" Yeah, we'll do that." And he did. We had ice cream, and he came home, we played. We weren't fast friends. But the simple fact about it is that you got to make a stand. Because if I wouldn't have made the stand, every day I would have gone with my head tucked away and I wouldn't face this bully. If I wouldn't have made a stand, I would have been the one who my grades would have been affected because my image would have been hurt. I would not have thought of myself in the way. It's not that I wanted to beat him. I didn't want to beat him. I just wanted him to stop declaring war on me. So I made a stand and I said, "This is not tolerable. If you're going to have anything to do with me, it's got to be the right way." My father, he always taught me. He said, "If they knock you down today, you go find them tomorrow. If they knock you down tomorrow, you find them the next day." He said, "You keep at it and eventually you'll win." See, the Christian does not give up. We face every battle, no matter what it is. We face it and we say, "Today will be a day the Lord has made. Today I'll make it through this. Today I'll find the peace in my life. Today I will find the peace." And see, you see what I'm saying here. It's not the false narrative that peace is the lack of war. Peace is the response to war. Peace is what we do when the world is at war with us. Will we ever find peace with ISIS and these other groups? No. But what we can do is we can respond with strength and with peace of Christ. See, that's what Paul is saying. Now, I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. And I'm filled up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Sisters and brothers, the only way to heaven is on bended knee. The only way to heaven is on bended knee. We cannot walk into the gates of our own accord. Only by his mercy and grace will we be afforded access. Only when we humble ourselves to him will we enter into his presence. So how we respond to others is we stand for ourselves and what God has blessed and called into being. We are a child of the light. So when we face the darkness, we say to the darkness, we say, you are darkness, we are light. We will not succumb to you. So the Western world's having trouble right now, because it's been living to this false narrative that somehow we can all just get along. We can all just get along. We've been at war since the beginning. Adam and Eve, the beautiful couple, even their children, Cain and Abel, we know what happened with that. We've been in constant conflict with one another. Years ago, I wrote this song, this poem. It's called Where Have All the Rainbows Gone? Talking about the covenants, the ideas, the promises that have been made. And the song goes, where have all the rainbows gone? Where do children lay to rest? How much longer can this go on? All this madness, all this sadness. People, don't you understand that we need a helping hand to see the promised land? One day, it could be today. That's a song I wrote after the madness of 9/11. After the sorrow of that day, I wrote that because I was trying to understand this madness of why people have such evil intent and harm in their minds. And I realized that to see it from the vantage point of the faith means we must understand that if we are at peace, the world is at war against us. I guarantee you, if you do something for God, the devil will attack you. If you make a stand for the truth, the darkness will try to win over. See, the truth is we are at war. We are at battle. There was once a point they tried to take the war songs out of the hymnal, thinking somehow we could stick our head in the sand. But sticking our head in the sand isn't going to change the reality. The barbarians are not at the gates, they're in the door. And we have to make a stand, not with hate speech, not with leaving people out, but saying this is the way it's going to be, and this is the way it must be. We must be the people we're called to be. And then when we find someone in transgression against us, we call them out and we say to them, what's wrong with you? You must come to face what you have done. See, Gerald would have kept on doing what he was doing. He would have kept on doing it, and he would have done it more, and then others would have joined him, and pretty soon I would have been that boy who would have been pushed out in one way or another, left out in one way or the other. But I took a stand, and when I took a stand, others stood with me because they knew I was right, because they also had been picked on by this boy and his messed up life and his dysfunctionality. I didn't know how bad it was. I didn't know how he was being treated at his home. I didn't know what life he came out of, but that didn't excuse what he was doing to me. So I took a stand, and I was willing to get beat that day in front of all of them. And every day I would have gone back every day, and I'd have said, today I'm going to win, and I'd have wore him down, and I would have won. Do you hear what peace truly is? Peace isn't just saying, oh, I'm going to give up. That's not peace, that's death. Peace Jesus making a stand. We start with our own families. We start with our own lives. We start with our own communities. We start with our own nation. We start with the world. The U.S. has to get over this stuff that somehow it can force a peace on a people who do not know what the sacrifice of peace means. I guarantee you, if it was the Christian faith that was doing crazy things, I would call them out every Sunday. I would dare them to explain to me how the Prince of Peace, how Christ could ever condone evil actions and evil ways. I would call them out like I call out anyone who does what's wrong. See, the nation needs to quit this political correctness of what it thinks is wrong and right, and understand it's wrong that those little children got run over by that truck in Nice, which could be said nice, France. Paul is describing this battle that we're at. Paul died while in prison by Rome. He describes this mystery that has been hidden for ages is now being shown to the Lord's people. He says that God has chosen to make it known the glorious riches in Christ, the hope of glory. And finally, what peace leads us to is peace with God. Peace with God is really what it's all about. Having peace with God means that we're no longer at war with God. Having peace with God means that we understand we belong to God. Having peace with God means we live godly lives. Having peace with God means we live righteous lives. It means we live whole lives. It means every part of us is giving to God. It means we are strong. We are the children of the light. Having peace with God means we live our lives in accordance with the gospel, with the way. Sisters and brothers, I know people don't like rules anymore. I know they like to live their life no matter how they want to live their life, with no consequence of how they live their life. But I say the simple fact about it, if you roll in the mud, you will get dirty. The simple fact about it is to have peace with God means to obey God, to trust and obey God. That's what that song says, trust and obey. There's actually another way it says. No, it says there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. My prayer is that in this century, this nation will bow its knees and confess its sins and become the light of the world again, so people may find the reason God gave birth to this great nation we're part of. But right now, we are wandering in the desert, not knowing how to respond, and thinking if we just pretend that is not happening, it will go away. But I'm saying it will never go away, because this battle will not be over until we enter those very gates. There is no war in heaven. It is all in peace. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to understand that in this world we live in, there are many that are against what we do and who we are. But our lives are not defined by these. We live our lives in accordance to the gospel. Help us to be strong and to fight the good fight and to run the race set before us. Lord, let us know that it is not the victory of self, but it's the victory that you provide to us each and every day. Lord, you indeed have given us the peace of Christ in our lives. You've allowed us to come and worship you. But Lord, we would be here no matter what the rules are. We're here because we want to worship you. We will worship you because you are our God. Now may the love and life of Jesus the Christ be with you now and forever. Amen.